Let us look into chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. There we can see the results of the justification or the effect of justification. The justification which is due to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. For a sinful person, our justification is based on the righteousness of Christ. So Paul says, therefore, means the justified person has peace and joy. The love of God is behind all this. It is from His love that our salvation proceeds. So first thing we see that is there is peace with God. The justified person has peace with God. The justified person is no longer tormented by questions of his relationship with God, arising from the fact that he is a sinner. He is at peace with God because of what God has done for him. Justification results in real peace with God, and that for all believers. You can see that it is not a false peace. Our peace is obtained through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who brings the blessing. It is the emphasis of part of the letter. So, in this particular lesson, pay attention to certain verses like Jeremiah chapter 6, 14 and 8:11, Romans 5, 11, 21, 6:23, 7:25 and 8:39. So through Christ, the second effect of the justification that because of that, we can approach God. We are introduced into the presence chamber of a monarch. That means we can enter into the presence of the King of Kings. Because of the righteousness of Christ, when a sinner accepts Christ, and he can go into the very presence of God. We do not come into our own strength. We need an introducer, that is Christ. The stress is on Christ's activity, not ours. As Paul described before, our work has nothing to do with it. Our works will not allow us to have access into the presence of God. That will not make us righteous before God. Only the work of Jesus Christ. See, the verb is in perfect tense, which points to the ongoing effect of a past action. Christ's bringing us to God has continuing effect. It is not that you can go to the presence of God only once, but you can go to His presence every moment continuously in your life. So access to this grace is access to God. Grace is not something apart from God. It is God giving Himself in righteousness. So what is grace? Grace is that God gives Himself to us in righteousness. So Paul says we stand, means we stand continuously in His presence. And also we rejoice. It is an exaltation. Ceaseless rejoicing because of what we have attained through Jesus Christ. See, 3:23, we can see that we fall short of the glory of God. But the work of Christ has altered it. Christ prayed that his followers would see his glory, John 17:24. That was his prayer. So the glory is closely connected with Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. So it is ongoing, for we are being transformed from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But the consummation is yet to be revealed. Romans 8:18. The third thing is that we rejoice in our affliction. That also, the rejoice there is that we boast, we are proud in the affliction we suffer for Christ's sake. The suffering here is because of what we stand for Jesus Christ, because of the sake of the gospel, we suffer. We, even though we never like the suffering, this is for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the glory of his name. So that is an exaltation of joy. Rejoice in our affliction. People usually think that troubles as evil to be endured. But Paul thinks that it is not only to be endured, but to be gloried in. It does not refer to minor inconvenience, but it is real hardship we face because we are children of God. See, no one likes trouble of this kind, but they be seen as difficulties to be overcome, as ways of opening up new possibilities. One who sees them in this light glories in them. Suffering produces perseverance, an active, manly fortitude. A soldier who is in the thick of a hard battle, not dismayed by the blows he receives, but fights on to the end. Then it produces character, the results of being tested, the quality of being approved on the basis of trial, the temper of the veteran as opposed to that of a raw recruit. I hope you understood this. The experience in the battlefield makes him stronger. Stand against the wiles of the enemy, the wickedness of the enemy, the strongholds of the enemy. When you stand against it, even though you go through the troubles, it makes your character. It produces character. And then you can see character produces hope. You can see hope comes last in the list. He is talking about Christian hope, not hope in general. So Christian hope does not disappoint us. Even though we go through trouble, we know the end of it. That is the hope of our glory. Disappointment usually means put to shame. The reason is that God's love is poured out into the hearts of the believers. Spirit's pouring of love is a creative act. It kindles love in our heart. For doubt shows the abundance, that shows the action of the Spirit of God in our spirit. The Spirit is given means it is not a human achievement, but of divine initiative. It is not obtained by our ability, but because of grace of God, the Holy Spirit is given. It is not taken, it is given. It is for every believer. It is not for a certain group of people. It is for every Christian who will come to the presence of God. The main thrust is that the death of Christ is for ungodly people, for sinners. Paul says, while we were powerless, means moral frailty, weakness, not the physical condition. We were quite powerless to help ourselves and unable even to understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, you may want to read that, but God's love triumphed where human power failed. Amen. So, that is the condition. That is where the love of God came. To make a powerless, failed human being, separated from God, the one who lost the glory of God. Now, because of the love of God, he became powerful. So God's love triumphed where human power failed. Paul says God acted at the right time. I'm going to give you some references. You may want to read 1 Corinthians 10:11, Galatians 4, verse 4, 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, Titus 1, 3, Hebrew 1, 2, and 9, 26. Two ways of looking at the time of death of Christ is combined here. He died at a time when we were still sinners, and a time that fitted God's purpose. The atonement was no afterthought. This was the way God always intended to deal with sin. He did it when he chose. He did it when he chose. We read that this was planned in the scripture. The prophets and the teachers were foretelling this. So it was not an afterthought. It was the plan of God throughout history. But at the right time, God sent his son. So God acted at the right time to save the people through the gospel. That's why Paul in 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that was the plan of God throughout the ages, to send his son to die for us on the cross. But he came at the right time when human power failed. The triumph of God's love, the fulfillment of God's justice and mercy is very much evident on the cross of Calvary. Now, in verse 8, you can see, usually no one die for evil people. Very rarely means not the number of times, but the difficulty of finding someone to die. It is hard to find someone to die for, even a better person, a righteous person. Righteous here means not one who have right relationship with God, but someone who is better than others, or who keep the letter of the law, that was their understanding. Not someone who is righteous through Jesus Christ. Again, Paul says, it is not impossible to die for a righteous person, but God's love is greater. Christ did not die for good people, but for sinners. So cross is the means by which he demonstrates his love. Paul says, what God shows, God's own love. Own love means the love of the Father. You know, 1 John 4:10. Unless there is a sense in which the Father and the Son is one, it is not the love of God that the cross shows. But because Christ is one with God, Paul can speak of the cross as a demonstration of the love of God. If Christ is less than Father, then the love of God, which is shown on the cross, is not the love of God, or it's a less kind of love, because Jesus is, if Jesus is considered less, in less divine nature, because he is equal to the Father, we can say that it is the love of God which is shown in Christ Jesus on the cross. There is no opposition between the Father and the Son in the means of our salvation. There is a spontaneity. There is a spontaneous effect of God's love. He loves because of what he is, not because of what we are. There is nothing in sinners to call for the love of God. In verse 1, justification is an accomplished fact. We have been justified. So in verse 9, Paul talks that that has basis and reason from it. Now, justification is by grace. Justification is by faith. Justification is by grace, that is 324. Justification is by faith, 328. Justification is connected with the resurrection, 425. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 6:11. It is in the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:11. In Christ, Galatians 2:17. Here it is in the blood. All these expressions are summed up in 8:33. That is, it is God. So in verse 9, you can see that justification is in the blood of Jesus Christ. But I have given you various references and the various means by justification is illustrated in the Bible. So how much more introduces an argument from greater to the less? If Christ has done the work, great work of justifying the sinners, dying for God's enemies, he will perform the comparatively simple task of keeping those who are now God's friends. Isn't that wonderful? And when we look into the future, Paul says we shall be saved. Indeed, the verb is in the future tense. 7 out of 8 occurrences in the Romans. In this letter, Paul is very interested in the future aspect of salvation. Here, Paul is talking about the wrath to come. Christ's salvation is effective not only now, but in what lies beyond the life. In verse 10, there is, you can see, talking about enemies, someone in the opposite camp. Sinners are God's enemies, which are mentioned in New Testament many times. In 11 verse 28, Philippians 3:18, Colossians 1:21, James chapter 4, Ephesians 2:15 and 16. But the state of enmity is not the last word. We were reconciled to him through the death of his son. Reconciliation is a clear word pointing to the making of peace after a quarrel. Paul uses this word to bring out the significance of the cross. Reconciliation took place through the death of Jesus Christ. How much more shall we be saved through his life? The reconciliation leads to salvation that never ends. If while we were enemies, we were restored to the favor of God by the death of his son, the fact that he lives will certainly secure our final salvation. If we attain the salvation through the death of Jesus Christ, while we were enemies, you can see, not only we are his friend or his children, but Jesus is alive now. So the fact that he lives will certainly secure our final salvation. It is not that he died and gone, like many other leaders, great leaders, good people. But he died and raised for our life, for our future, for our eternity. Isn't that wonderful? We are serving a living God, the only living God. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We shall be saved through sharing in his life while we live. In this world, we are sharing, partakers of his life through living, his living in us. Our full salvation is achieved in Christ's life, which means we are in him and that his life is in us. We are mutually dwelling each other. He is in us, we are in him. Certainly, our life is bound up with his life. Look in the 6th verse 8, John 14:19, Ephesians 1:22 and 23, Hebrews 7:25, and Revelation 1:18. Also, we rejoice in God. We exult in God only because of what God has done. That is the reconciliation he brought forth through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's only on account of what God has done that we can exalt in God. That is something of the spontaneous exuberance of the Christian life. There is no place for misery, unhappiness, because Jesus is alive and his life is flowing through us, and he has promised us life abundant. And that is the reason why we have the continuous joy, spontaneous exuberance. Isn't that wonderful? So, this is the lesson 12 And the next lesson, we will start with verse 12 to 21. So we will come back to that lesson shortly. Thank you.